Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. Our quote for tonight is, "Wherever there is evil in the world, there are those who will rise to the occasion and accept personal disaster for the sake of others. We do not know how long we can keep the darkness at bay, and we will not always know how to act. It takes bravery and courage and a strong stance against hopelessness. But in the end, when there is no light left to guide your path, your only choice is to venture into the darkness." Our campaign is Horror on the Orient Express, and this is episode 63. I'm your game master, and Jeff Wilkins will be giving our recap. So that being said, the players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Jeff?
Thanks, Tom. Our investigators were in a tough spot. They had just been through a terrifying experience where we seemed to have faced off against the legend of Baba Yaga. In our story, she is called Grandmother, and we've just barely escaped her living house and ran terrified into the woods. As the episode starts, our investigators find themselves in the woods, having not remembered much. In due time, we are eventually rescued by the group of gypsies that we had seen at the festival the night before in Orosach. In the camp, the gypsy camp, Eldred spots a woman who looks just like Sirtza, but older. The woman hears the name Sirtza and is stunned to learn that it is her twin sister, who was lost in the woods when she was 12 years old. There's confusion over the age difference, though. While in the camp, there is a relaying of myths regarding the Baba Yaga story. There is a rumor that there are three witches, one young, one middle-aged, and one elder. We theorize that maybe the priest's wife might be the middle-aged witch. The leader of the gypsies is named Marco. He has gathered about 15 men and wishes to hunt down the Baba Yaga in revenge for her taking the young girl all those years ago. We are nervous to assist as we know what we're up against, but after them having just rescued us from the woods, we feel obligated to help. While Dr. Keith remains behind in the camp, our hunting party heads out. After about 4 days in the woods, we do not find any traces of the witch or the hut, so we return back to camp. Marco is grateful and tells us that we're always welcome amongst the gypsies. Our mission in the woods seems to be over, so we head back to civilization. While waiting for the train to arrive, we hear a commotion out in the street. There's a moment where chaos breaks out. People are running in the street and children are screaming and crying. They're being chased by thousands of black chickens. We try to battle them off, but there are just too many. Eventually, the chickens subside and people are left wounded and scared. Our train arrives, and we are very anxious to get out of there. We finally get back onto the Orient Express. We're headed to our next destination, when during the thunderstorm, Eldritch sees the Baba Yaga hut following along next to the train in the distance. Dr. Keith sees it too. It's following us up until it comes to a river, and then it stops. The rumor is that it can't cross water. The next morning, Dr. Keith is getting a cup of coffee and notices a professor-type person sitting two booths down. He has a bunch of stuff scattered on the table. He has a list with several items listed, something called Sujeta, of which also is the L'Imaginin Diablo and the Sedevgar. And that brings us up to date.
All right. So Dr. Elizabeth has got up to retrieve the coffee. On her way back, she's noticed this, as you say, academic sort of looking fellow going over papers and items that, as I said at the moment, looked kind of familiar. The best way I can describe the look on this man's face is one of fascination and perhaps even elation as he's looking at this stuff and going over it and making notes. And you are literally right next to him as you're walking past. You've glanced dead down and seen this. What do you want to do, Dr. Elizabeth?
I'm thinking it might be a good idea to just carry on as though I haven't seen it.
Okay. The others are not yet aware of what you've seen.
No, so. I'll go and sit at the table and was I getting coffee for Rupert? Who was I getting coffee for?
Yeah.
I was getting coffee for Rupert. I'll give Rupert his coffee and I'll appraise the others of what I've just seen on the table. Is this gentleman sitting behind us or is he just further up the carriage?
He's further up the carriage, and his back is to you, technically.
Well, I'll quietly fill the rest of the party in.
You're two booths away from him.
And are there any stewards about?
There is. In fact, some of the people are quite irritated because he's not. He's fumbling their orders and stuff. He's already been talked to once by the maitre d'.
Well, I'll motion him over.
The first time you motion him over, he looks at he sees you motion him, and then he just sort of pretends to ignore you.
Well, I'll be subtle. I won't start doing my Oliver Hardy and saying "garçon." apparently, you must never say that. I shall just politely doing it off camera. Look, politely gesture with my hand okay. again.
Maybe show him a little leg.
He seems to be busy doing something, but eventually he comes over to you and he's like, "Yes, what can I do for you?"
I will proffer a substantial note and ask him the gentleman a couple of booths behind us. Could you remind me who he is?
I'm not sure.
Oh,
he's just like this. This guy's just like a waiter.
Oh well, I'm wrong.
There is a maitre d'.
I'll see if I can attract his attention.
Okay. The maitre d'. When you attract his attention, he immediately comes over to you. Yes, madame, may I help you?
Yeah, I do hope you can help us. It's terribly, terribly embarrassing, really. I've just walked past the gentleman a couple of booths away and managed to avoid his glance this time, but I'm afraid we were talking to him earlier. And for the life of me, I can't remember his name, and I'm terrified that he's going to start conversation with me and I won't remember who he is.
Madam, that's quite all right. That's Dr. Jordanov.
Of course, yes, Dr. Jordanov. Yes, of course. Of course. How could I forget?
I believe his first name is Radko. Was there anything else? And he glances over at the steward, like the steward is doing something wrong, and he's like but he doesn't let you. I mean, you guys see the annoyance in his eyes, but he doesn't project that to you at all.
Thank you very, very much for your help. You saved me from terribly embarrassing myself.
But of course, and he goes back to doing whatever he's doing.
So we have a name.
Doesn't ring a bell on me, any of you?
No.
Why don't you guys do an idea roll?
Okay.
That is a pass, so 24. 32
is a pass, yes.
I got a 12.
Okay. I'll start by saying, yes, you have heard that, you've heard that name before. Recently.
I look to the group and I say, perhaps we should make conversation with him as if we've met him before.
Well, just a cotton picking minute. This fellow, we've heard his name before.
Yes.
He wasn't by any chance a member of
the cult that's trying to kill you all.
No, he wasn't by any chance a member of Dr. Morrick's.
I'll give that to you. Yes. What it was the note that was left to Yasmina told her to contact Dr. Morrick because he was Dr. Yordanov, because he was Morrick's colleague at Sophia University, and they were going to study the artifacts together. At which point, you have seen some of those things on the table before. They're from the Crusader's tomb.
Aha. Well then, this is the gentleman to whom we had promised Miss Morrick that we were going to deliver the statement of Talius Corvus, I believe, Noretio de Talius Corvus.
Are we sure that that's necessarily a smart idea, Dr. Elizabeth?
I'm not necessarily suggesting that we do actually deliver it to him right now. I'm just saying that this is the chap in question.
I also am remembering that he is the director of ancient history at Sophia. Yeah.
Yes, that could prove quite interesting and useful to us.
He, now that you know that, I want to just say, this is a weird thing to kind of say, but there's nothing at all that looks sinister about him. He looks like a pure academic, kind of frail, hasn't done much exercise, although he's thin. He just looks like the kind of a professor that you would expect to find in an academic setting, kind of not really naive, but innocent, you know, looking.
Are we at a booth or are we at a table?
You're at a booth.
All right. I'm going to look over to Frank. I'm going to say, would you please move? And as he shuffles out of the way, I'm going to shuffle out. And I'm going to look to the table and I'm going to say, I will make conversation with them. As you know, I am very good with people.
Do I need that laugh track?
Did you say that with a smile?
No, I said that with my normal face, which is just like blank like this.
So?
If this fails, can you dub in the sad trombone afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay. I will approach.
All right. So he's oblivious to you. He's simply working, making notes.
I say, I'm gonna start in English and then work through the languages I know to see if he understands me. I say, and in English, I say, excuse me, sir.
Yes. What may I do for you?
My friend over there, and I point directly to Dr. Keith, saw what you were writing in your book and saw that you were writing about something called the Sedev car.
Yes. Do we know each other?
I don't believe we've met personally, but we have heard of your name before. You know of a young woman named Yasmina, yes?
And for a moment, he just looks sort of dumbstruck, and he's like, oh, you are the friends of Yasmina. I have just left Vinkovsky, back on my way to Sofia. And he looks over and he says, is that Dr. Elizabeth Keith?
That is Dr. Elizabeth Keith.
Ah.
Next to her is Rupert. Then we have Frank. And we have Dr. Theodore Dawkins.
Oh, well, this is the most marvelous thing of all. I was hoping that I would be able to see you. Jasmine and I have been organizing, delivering these things to the Sofia University. And I've been going over some of these papers and translating them, and they're fascinating. Yes,
you've been translating what exactly? Things from the Crusader's Tomb?
Yes, it's quite fascinating. But you must know that already. You've seen some of these things. You've gone over some of them.
I think we may have more information to give you. In fact,
oh, that's wonderful. Yes, she said that you had some manuscripts that I would be able to look at. It's so amazing that we have met here on the train. I was expecting maybe that you would show up next week or so. I was told that you were in Serbia.
We were for a time.
Allow me to move some of this stuff. We could all sit together.
I think that my compatriots would much enjoy this. And I turn and I walk to the table. And I say, I think that I have made headway in talking with the professor.
And he, of course, by this time is standing up, rearranging the table. And of course, there's a lady present, so he's standing.
He wants us to sit with him and perhaps talk about what we found. I think that this would be a good opportunity for us to possibly talk with him and uncover what he may have translated from his findings. We could maybe learn more about the Sedev Carlacum and everything with that. I can't pronounce it. I'll never be able to.
How are you ever going to be a professional actor if you don't learn how to pronounce the words?
I will never be an actor, sir. Never.
All right. So you're going to join him?
Yeah, I'm going to join him. I look through
yes,
and
say he seems like an interesting chap. I think I quite like him.
Oh, I am so very glad to meet you all. Dr. Elizabeth, I've heard very much from you, but Jasmine, I don't know if they could kiss your hand or whatever is the custom.
Just shake it. I'm not the Pope.
I wouldn't kiss the Pope's hand anyway. I'm not a Roman Catholic. Please sit down. He says, I'm rather embarrassed that the service on this train is not quite what it should be, from what I understand.
A lot of people seem to be complaining today.
We have been going over very meticulously many of the papers that we have found, and it is quite fascinating. This I am hoping next month to be able to travel to Venice, Italy, because I suspect that there is a book that might shed some light on this on some of this that I found. It is called Immagini del Diavolo, and it should contain some narrative about about some of this stuff that I have found here.
Well, Professor, and I look to the group and I kind of just glare at them for just one moment, just to kind of gauge the reactions of the group on what I should now say. Should we lie or should we tell the truth? Give me your eyeballs for a moment and tell me what you're saying.
I'm just going to quickly cut in.
Okay, go ahead and cut in.
Boy, before you have a chance to say anything. Yes, I have read the book of which you speak.
Oh, you have? So you found it?
Yes, yes. We found it in the library in Venice. Although be warned, it does open rather late.
Oh yes, this is Europeans. It was in the library. I thought that it was supposed to be in a church, Santa Maria Celeste.
Or perhaps I'm confusing it with something else.
So it is quite possible, Dr. Keith. You are very old.
Well, do you want a refresher?
Right. What's my brawl?
You see, now from what I understand, from what I've put together, the knights of the Crusade, during the sack of Constantinople, they were able to secure a certain, I would say, anti-religious items from an individual here that is named Sedevkar. It sounds Turkish, if you ask me. But there was supposedly some sort of a statue. And it doesn't explain what became of the statue, that it was probably stolen by someone. However, there are some descriptions of this statue that are very intriguing, because they are quite detailed in certain aspects, especially of the material of which the statue is supposedly made. Now, the reason why this is interesting is because, you see, a few years ago, perhaps 7 or 8 years ago, I had a student. And his name was Ivo Penev. Now, you're all in academics, so you know that one of the things that we must always guard against is releasing information before we are ready.
Of course.
The student, Ivo, Mr. Penev, I'll see if I get the story correct. There was a farmer who discovered a piece of statuary with rather unusual properties. The statue was ultimately came into the hands of my student, Mr. Penev. Using the academics available to him at the time, he was quite unable to identify what the origin of this statue. I believe it was simply a head. He says that, he wrote a paper and tried to get it published, and the result was that he was laughed out of academia. I don't know if you are familiar, perhaps you are, Mr. Volkov, some of the legends we have in the Slavic countries. And one of them has to do with a civilization of dwarves called the Jujera.
This is in High Boria, right?
I don't think so. I think they live in the woods and the mountains here. Theoretically, you know, in the stories, it's like the little people.
Yes.
The little people, the Jujera, he theorized that in fact the Jujera were a pre-human civilization, and that this piece of statue was part of that civilization. Now, how he came to come to these ridiculous and overblown conclusions, I have no idea. But in any case, he presented his paper. He was laughed out of academia. And unfortunately, though he was a very good man, he died in obscurity. However, I think with a little research, when we get back to Sophia, that we can find out where this statue is, because the description that Ivo Penev gives of this head matches almost exactly the description given by the Crusaders of this larger statue, this more complete statue, that came from Sedevkar. And I am hypothesizing that head is part of that statue. And I think we might be able to find it, which would be a remarkable discovery, yes? Now, I don't think it belongs to any ancient civilization, but it belongs to this collection of Crusader items, artifacts. And if we were able to put this together, and he seems absolutely just friggin' delighted that he might be able to do this, you know? He says, I have a very good idea of where it might be.
I see. And you think it might still be with this former student of yours?
Oh, no, he's dead.
Oh.
He's passed away, but I know I have his papers in my office somewhere. I am an academic, so you can imagine my office is filled to the roof with papers, but I am sure, either there or at my home, that I have his paper, and I bet you there is some clue as to where this piece ends up. Because I'm sure there were other academics that looked at it and ultimately dismissed it as nonsense. But I would think this would be very interesting to find, especially because of its connection to these Crusaders.
Tom, how long do we have before the train makes it to Sofia?
A couple of hours. You are due to arrive in Sofia at... Sorry, it's right here. You arrive at Sofia Station at 7 p.m. So it's about five in the afternoon.
Okay.
And if that doesn't match up to previous things, just match it up.
That gives us a couple of hours to formulate what we're going to do.
Yes.
His office is in Sofia?
Yes, my office is at the university in Sofia. And you know, for all we know, this artifact could have been all of these years simply sitting on the shelf downstairs from my office in the archives of the university. It could be sitting right there. Now, at that point, your conversation is interrupted. In a very odd and unpleasant way, the maitre d' has grabbed the steward by the arm, and you know that for the Orient Express, upbraiding somebody in front of everyone is extreme. The maitre d' must be really, really displeased at this server. And he's like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why are you not taking the orders? Why are you not getting these things straight? He says, I want you to be able to take the orders and get them correct, or I'll throw you off the train myself. At which point, this is all happening right almost next to you, okay? At which point, the steward drops the tray he's carrying with drinks onto the floor, puts a hand on the maitre d's shoulder, pulls out a rather wicked and large-looking knife and jams it in the maitre d' two or three times, and then scrambles for the door, heading towards the front of the train.
One of us should stay back and help him. The others should run after the man. I vote that I run after the man. I have no medicine.
I'll stay with him and immediately start applying first aid.
Same here.
I'm going to try and rush after him and tackle him.
I'm behind you, Eldritch.
All right. Okay. Well, when this happens, we're going to go through a couple of processes because pandemonium obviously breaks loose. Other people in the room start screaming. The maitre d' is thrown to the floor or drops to the floor. Glasses and things are crashed as this guy makes it to the doorway. So what does it say here? People are also tending to get up from their seats. So you're going to have to sort of maneuver between them. So whoever's chasing after, do a dexterity roll.
I passed with a 20.
I failed. 86.
Okay, so Frank, you kind of trip over some people and go down, but Eldridge, you manage to jump over whatever's on the floor, and you're chasing after him. Okay, who else is... that was it, just you two. Oh, is Rupert? Rupert's probably doing it too.
Yes, I think Rupert's going after him. I'll just do a...
So do a dex for Rupert.
Dex for Rupert, whose dex is only 14. Oh no, Rupert got a 78.
Okay, so he's kind of tripped over Frank. Eldridge, this guy, when he gets to the door in the car, he, with his arm reaches back behind him, he slams the door closed. So I need you to do a strength roll to barge through it.
Oh, you got it, bud. 19.
Wow.
It's just, I like how it's just one off from 20, because I got the last one.
Okay.
Yeah. Boom.
So it's really a folding door that comes across, but when you hit it, you sham it out of the way. Now, this guy is quick. He's gotten all more than halfway through the next car, and he's heading into the fourgon, where the luggage and stuff is. So go ahead and do a constitution roll. What the hell is this? This is a 20-sided dice. That doesn't count.
Sounds like you're trying to wing me. All right, I got a 46. That's a pass. Not a hard, but it's a pass.
Okay. Also, do a spot hidden roll.
Okie dokie, bucko. That is a 100% fail.
Okay. So... he's running. He gets to the next door and slams it. And he's entered the fourgon just as you get to the door. So I think that it would actually be easier for you just to swing the door back open again. You've practically caught it as he was closing it.
Okay.
All right. He is now in the process of opening up the side of the fourgon, and your only guess is that he's going to try to jump. It is cold and snowy outside.
Okay.
And the train is going at full speed.
Let's talk about the poles. We're talking like cast iron poles here. Some nice hefty metal.
Well, I'm sorry?
For like the walls and stuff like that. We're talking about the walls and the structural support of where he's standing.
It's a train, so it's, you know, the wall moves like this so that they can load stuff on.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do, what I guess the only thing I can do is I'm going to grab him by the collar and then just bap him in the back of the head.
You remember he's got a big freaking knife.
That's, you know, I got a decent dodge.
Okay.
I got a decent dodge over here.
Let's go ahead and
I'm gonna get him.
All right. Go ahead and try. But before we do that, let's go back to Frank and Rupert. You guys have gotten up now. You guys gonna follow? Okay, it's gonna take you one round to catch up to them.
Okay. See, I'm fine. I got you guys covered.
Right. All right, so go ahead and try a grapple roll. All
righty, grapple roll. That is a 10.
Okay, so you grapple him and swing him around. He is going to attempt to slice you with the knife as he turns. And at this point, you notice that what he has in his hand is his notebook, or his notepad that he was supposed to be taking orders on, and it's got scribbles all over it.
Oh, yep. So he's an agent. All right.
All right.
You want me to roll a dodge?
He swings. Yeah, go ahead and roll a dodge.
Rolling a dodge. Nope, that's a 57. And I'm going to guess I can't spend luck points on a combat roll. So no. Go ahead.
So he hits you with the knife, and he does. What is it? The knife? 1d4. Get one of those out. He only does one point of damage to you. So he slices through your clothes and cuts you a little.
I say, how dare you?
And now you can try to do something to him.
I'm assuming that I've grabbed him and he's turned around to slice me. And in true movie fashion, I'm going to look down at the slice in my clothes. I'm going to look up and I'm just going to sock him right in the goddamn face.
Okay, you can try.
Ass. 30. That's a hard.
Okay, he got a 70, so you punched him right in the face. But he seems to take it pretty well.
Okay.
He is now going to attempt to try to stab you with the knife.
Okay.
And he got a 90, so you don't even have to.
I got a 25, so yay.
He swings it over your head.
I did 3 points of damage on the punch, by the way.
Okay. Okay, now you can go ahead and do another move just as Frank and Rupert are arriving.
So I bit them in the face. That didn't really work. So now I guess I'm going to take my right foot and leg and kind of jab at his shin to try and get him down on the ground.
Okay, go ahead and try.
Okay, I got a 41. It's not hard, but it's okay.
Okay, he got a 99, so...
Jesus!
You hit him in the leg, and he drops onto one knee. He's going to attempt... Oh, he got a 9. He is going to attempt to throw his notebook out the door, which he succeeds at doing.
Well, you little dick...
Okay, but he's down on one knee.
All right. Let's sidekick the knife out of his hand. May as well.
You probably need a hard for that one, but.
Well, I got a 60, which is my exact roll.
Okay, so you kick him, but you don't knock the knife out of his hand.
All right.
Go ahead and do some damage to him.
So, 2 damage.
Okay. Frank and Rupert, you are now here.
Seeing what's going on...
You've got a pretty good handle on it.
Rupert, then I'm going to... make an attempt to just close... I assume it's a rolling door, is it?
Yes.
I'm going to attempt to close the door.
Okay. Go ahead and do dex roll.
Dex roll. What's dex? 14. And I got a 15 out of 14.
Okay. So you start to close the door and... It's not open that much, so you manage to close the door. All right. Frank, what do you do?
So can you explain again? So he's the bad guy is down
bad
on
guy,
his
bad knee. Guy is on the ground. Eldritches need him, so he's Rupert slammed the door closed. And this guy's still got a big fat butcher knife.
First of all, I'm a little bit in awe of Eldritch still pulling all these combat moves, so I'm kind of like, whoa. Is his back to me?
I'm good at a few things.
No, he's lying on his back. Face up. Do you mean Eldritch?
The bad guy. Like I'm
The bad guy is lying on the ground on his back.
On his back.
He fell back onto his back and he flung his notebook out the door.
Just like deck him in the head with your foot.
Could I? Well, I'm concerned about the knife, so could I either kick his hand or arm or stomp on it to pin his arm, that sort of thing? Sure.
Try it. Well, if you're going to pin it, call it grapple. If you're going to kick it, you know, I'll call it grapple.
I think it's the same roll.
Yeah, they all come from brawl.
Oh, wow, 14. I think that's going to hit.
All right, so you stomp. What do you want to do? You want to stomp on his arm?
Yeah, like my goal is to either disarm him or kick him hard enough that he would drop the knife. So what?
All right. He drops the knife. So now he is going to attempt to break free from you, which. You got a 40. What are you guys? Eldritch, why don't you roll and see if you counter my 40 with something better?
I can counter that. No problem. 23.
Okay. So he struggles to get away from you, and he spits in your face.
That's not very polite where I'm from.
Bloody ruffian.
Knife is still in his hand, right?
No, he's dropped it. Frank stomped on his arm.
Right. Well, I'm gonna
right put, next to his hand, though.
I'm gonna put my knees on his rib cage, like I'm gonna like put weight on his lungs, and I'm just gonna start decking him in the face until he's just out like a light.
All right. Go ahead and roll.
That is a 56.
Okay. At this point, there's not much he can do. So after. We'll say after you pummel him a couple times and Rupert pummels him a couple times, he's out.
All right.
He goes limp. By this time, a few other gentlemen have joined you who saw what happened, and they're wanting to help too, but now they see you guys have taken care of it.
Oh, we need rope. So I say, I guess in Russian, go get rope.
Well, there's probably some rope here in the foregone.
Okay.
It's a foregone conclusion that there's rope in the foregone.
Okay.
Wah, 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 wah.
That was something of a pun you made there. Okay, wordplay. I'm going to rush over, and I am going to bind his hands, then bind his feet, and then pretty much hog tie him.
All right, go ahead and do a spot hidden.
Okay, let's do a spot hidden pass this time. Yep, I made it by 4, 61.
In the process of tying him up, you notice there are a few patches of skin on his body that do not look like they were originally his.
Yeah. All right. So we've established that we may, who knows how long he's been on here. You have to assume. Not very long. But maybe he's the one that's been going through our ship.
Well, every time you get off and on the train, you've got different servers.
Well, this means that we're not safe at all then, period. No matter, the train is definitely not our safe haven. Like we mentioned in the last episode.
Mm-hmm. It also seems to you that it now makes sense that this person was never a trained member of the train. It was kind of obvious. Even the maitre d' had figured it out that something funny was going on.
All right. Well, can with I, him... Oh, go ahead, Frank.
Can I flip him over, see if he got a wallet?
Yes. No, he doesn't.
No idea.
So I'm going to place him over my shoulder, I guess, and I'm going to carry him into one of the more stately cars, and we're going to get the conductor, and we're going to get someone of authority, and we're going to figure this shit out.
Okay. Couple of things need to happen, okay?
Good thing.
One is, okay, you've got this guy secured. You've pulled him in, thrown him into a booth, and he's there. A lot of the people are here. The conductor has joined you. Le Maître D is in serious condition. But Dr. Dawkins, why don't you go ahead? Oh, you're not that kind of a doctor, are you?
I have a bit of medicine, so.
Why don't you do a first aid and staunch the bleeding?
And no, I got a critical fail.
Okay, it's a bad wound. They are they're seriously considering stopping the train before they get to Sophia. There's a little village. I mean, there's little towns and things along the way, and get him to a hospital or to a physician.
All right.
That's at least what the plan is at first, but very quickly there are other doctors on board the train, so they sort of take over. They are the conductor and the staff are very grateful to you for assisting in capturing this criminal. About 10 minutes later, they discover in one of the closets, in one of the staff areas, they discover the poor server who was actually murdered by this guy and had his uniform stolen.
Okay.
And at least at this point, this guy refuses to speak at all. He doesn't even acknowledge that anybody's talking to him. They're also going to have to they're going to be delayed because, of course, they are going to have to let the police come on board and question everybody as to what happened. So you won't be able to go directly to your hotel once the train arrives in Sofia. So what would you guys like to do?
Can I kind of gather everyone into our room then?
Yes.
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
I'm sorry. The other thing, Dr. Jordanov is very upset. He's not used to this kind of excitement. He doesn't understand what just happened. And he probably is clueless that it had anything at all to do with what he was talking about. You know?
Okay, so I pull in the group into our train, and I say, so we're not telling the professor any of this, right? We're not explaining anything about what just happened?
I think it would be better to visit the professor at his office and discuss it with him rather than discussing it on the train. I think it's a very good job that we didn't discuss it with him on the train with that chap standing around.
Yeah. But, looks like he was surveying him and not us, so that's a good thing, I suppose.
We don't know that for sure, though.
No, we don't.
Well, I'm not giving anything away by explaining that he was obviously listening to you guys discuss the location of a piece of the Sedevkar simulacrum.
Dope.
And as soon as you guys divulged the info, he made a run for it.
I grumble under my breath that we should have killed him.
Which, by the way, can I clarify, did we have to, like, pull you off of him, or were you just...
I think pulling off, because at this point these people are a legitimate threat. The last person that we threw in jail, he got out. Mm-hmm. The only reason why he didn't come after us again is because he died at the caves. This guy's not going to die. Like, he knows about us. He knows the location. He'll get out. But I suppose I explained that to you when you guys pulled me off or something like that. I'm sure Rupert was like, yeah, let's kill him. Mm-hmm. That's something Rupert would probably say.
I don't know. You'd have to have a good reason.
I think that is a good reason. We're nearing the end of the trip, and we have no idea how dangerous these people are. And if they don't know about us, we need to keep it as such.
I apologize. I got distracted. Did you say the train's stopping before we get to Sophia?
Yeah, it's at some little town to let the police on, so they can question you.
Who has custody of the bad guy now?
Say that again?
Who has custody of the bad guy? Is the authorities on the train watching him right now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we're in a separate cabin?
Train security. Yeah, you're back in your own cabins. He's actually being held up somewhere in the lounge so that he's not like... They don't really have like a jail cell or anything, so...
Yeah.
They're watching him.
And Jordanov is not with us, right?
No, actually, he became quite upset at what was going on and had to go lie down for a bit. He's just not used to excitement.
My gut reaction is we need to protect our core. Treat what we know very cautiously. Who and what we reveal to people.
Yeah. I completely agree.
I mean, first of all, I want to say I'm thrilled. So far, I think this is the only person that we know of that has even heard of the Snefkar before.
Hmm.
And he mentioned something about researching it and reading about it. So all of our library visits on this entire trip have brought nothing. So he's the first one that I can think of who knows this thing even exists besides us.
He could probably give us a lot of information if we just ask the right questions.
That's what I'm hoping.
Well, I'm thinking that it would seem perfectly natural if we were to visit him at his office and said, look, I'm terribly sorry, but we couldn't discuss this with you on the train. No, I think he would expect us to say that, especially if we're going to admit to him that we're in possession of other pieces of the simulacrum.
Well, I don't know.
We decided to do that.
I don't even think we should do that, and I don't think we should talk to him at his office. I think that we should go to like a dive bar in the middle of Sophia, where no one knows us, where we're least suspected of being. Talk with them there, because there was a maitre d' who was an agent. We have no idea if the guy walking down the hallway is an agent, or his secretary is an agent, or we have no idea. It could be anybody.
Could be a chicken.
Could be a chicken. And Frank, you're not even kidding. It could literally be an animal.
That's what I'm saying.
It could be a literal fly on the wall.
I am starting to suspect that.
No, and you brought that up last night, and I think that's perfect.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. So, and I'm gonna sit down on the couch and kind of sprawl out because this is like a lot. I'm still probably bleeding.
What day is it? Do you guys have track?
Yeah, it was touch and go for some of that stuff when we were in the woods and all. but I tried to keep track, and to the best of my ability, it's now Monday the 18th.
Of February.
February 18th, yeah.
All right. As an aside, you guys have tended along the way to pick up newspapers, okay? The climate, the political climate in Sofia right now is not very good. Here's an excerpt from something. It's about things that have happened in Sofia recently. On February 5th, anarchists threw a bomb in a theater where the country's prime minister, Alexander, Stambolinskaya, it was seated with other government officials. There were no casualties, but the police began a massive hunt across the city to break up an anarchist meeting and locate weapon stockpiles. In an unrelated accident, the National Theater burns down on February 10th during anniversary celebrations. Well, the rest of this hasn't happened yet. So there's a lot of political anarchy going on in the city, and people are inclined to believe that something like this incident was probably an anarchist attack on the train.
Just Eastern Europe political climate in the 1920s and 30s. Your average political climate for Eastern Europe.
All right. So, let's try to continue with your... You just know that Sofia is not a safe place. So dive bars, a little dangerous.
That's a good idea, though. The more dangerous it is for us, the more dangerous it is for them.
You also do recall that Dr. Yordanov mentioned that he has a house in Sofia.
I don't want to go to that, though.
Are safe or not, yeah.
We don't want to lead anybody to him. And we don't want, and if someone's following him, we don't want to lead them to us.
All right.
So how are we gonna prevent that guy from leaking that information that he's got?
There's no way now.
As soon as he gets off that train.
As soon as he gets out of jail, he's going to tell them that we were with him. There's no way.
We have to get to Jordanos. You mentioned something about the office in a basement. We might have to get there as quick as we can.
We have to. We should probably go there before we even check in. Yeah.
Assuming he's up for it. Because he doesn't know us either.
Well, it looks like we've got no option but to tell him the train. I think if we demonstrate that we have I imagine it at Diablo, and possibly we could show him the pieces of the simulacrum, which, I mean, if it came to it, showing him actual pieces of the simulacrum would certainly convince him, and given that we were quite willing to show them to a hideous demonic witch woman who lived in the woods in a living house, I would say we'd probably be at less risk showing them to an elderly academic.
Unless his goal is to, if he gets wind that we're trying to destroy this thing.
Well, we needn't tell him that.
I'd like to bring up something that the professor said. And that is that the aide who had the book, or not the book, the head, died. I don't actually suspect that he died of, you know, either natural causes or he was murdered. I think that And this goes for whoever's turn it is to hold on to the next piece. I think that the piece killed him. I think that the shooting pain in the arm and in the abdomen and the legs, I think that those are painful, but they're bearable. But I think that whoever has the head, if we don't destroy the pieces soon, they may die.
Speaking of which, those of you who have those corresponding pieces, the pain and discomfort has gotten progressively worse as this adventure has gone on. Remember, the adventure's only taken a little over a month.
I've only just found a piece, though, haven't I? Am I experiencing any pain yet?
A little bit. Every time you just naturally bump yourself, you think, oh, is that the beginning of it?
Is that my left arm?
Is that the piece? Yeah, that's the piece.
The left arm.
So probably you have it, but when you get up in the morning, you probably wrench it on something, or you think that's what happens. In any case, as I say, it's gotten progressively worse, but it's still not huge. It takes a long time.
I think, Dr. Keith, I think you have the right arm.
That's right. Yeah. The left arm was the first piece you ever found.
All right, okay. Yes, the right arm. The left arm is the one in which I actually have a non-game, real-world injury.
The left arm is the one that I... In-game,
yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Well.
As you are sitting there discussing this, there is suddenly you can hear suddenly off in the distance screams and a gunshot goes off.
Oh, good Lord.
I look to the group and I say, should we? I kind of nudge the door.
I'll grab my key and my pistol and I'll head out.
I'll let you guys take this one.
What now?
Okay. As you step out of your cabins and begin to make your way back up towards the front of the train, one of the people who is in charge of the sleeping cars comes through the door and he sees you and he says, please come quickly. The prisoner has committed suicide.
Oh, thank God.
Well, that's sort of solved a problem, isn't it? Really?
I said what I was thinking.
So when you get up there, what you found out was that they were basically keeping him tied up and there. He had, you know, some limited movement, but he was sitting there. He managed to work his arm loose, and one of the men was holding a gun on him, and he managed to wrestle the gun out of his hand and then kill himself. And the maitre d' is like, oh, what a mess. No, the maitre d' is making the mess because he's also injured, so.
I'm dying.
I am dying. The hell's his name? I actually have a list. One of the conductors. He's like, oh my God, what a mess. So now they've got to clean that up. But the guy's committed suicide rather than be tortured into talking.
You know what, too? I'm just realizing... I mean, it's probably pointless, but can I don't know how, but figure out where we are on the train, where we are geographically.
Sure.
I'm thinking if we had to try and track down that notebook that he threw out the door.
The moment you
I think you said 2 hours outside of Sofia. I don't know how fast the train was going or if they stopped it or.
You are probably going to, you're probably somewhere between Sarabande and Dragoman. You're probably going to stop in Dragoman so that they can get the doctors to patch up the maitre d'. In fact, you can feel the train already coming to it's been a half an hour or so, though. So if that notebook is anywhere, it's miles and miles behind you.
Okay. Oh, dear.
So, that solves our problem. I begin walking back to the cabin. Just as stoic as I ever was. Man killed himself, who cares?
Why would he do that, though? He had important information.
Maybe he didn't want the authorities to know. I look to Frank.
Maybe he had somebody following the train, and as soon as he threw it out there, somebody went to the cover. One of his skin buddies.
Hmm.
So I wouldn't be celebrating so quickly.
Hmm.
Well, regardless, who's expecting a message from Professor Smythe at this next stop? I say Smythe with almost contempt.
Careful.
Rupert's simmering.
Well, you have a couple of options at this point in the story. The police are getting on board. They're going to question you all as to what happened. You can do nothing. You can talk some more to Dr. Yordanov, or we can just move ahead and you get to Sophia. And
I think we should follow Dr. Keith's lead and go talk to Yordanov.
Okay. Is that what you want to do? Did we lose Jeff?
He just went to go do something really quick. Oh. He'll be right back.
Should
I'm with Eldridge. Yeah, we should do that.
Should one of us go and should we possibly bring him to us? I mean, if it comes down to it and we need to really convince him that we're absolutely on the level, we can do that by showing him the pieces of the simulacrum. So it would probably be better to bring him. Or are they in the luggage car?
No, I think you've kept them in your trunks in your cabins.
Okay. Okay. Right.
You've also have no reason to believe that Yordanov would suspect you guys of anything. We were just horribly interrupted while we were having a nice good talk.
In that case, I seem to get on with him. Perhaps I should go and find the good doctor. If the rest of you would like to wait here,
that's fine.
Okay.
I'll go and find him and bring him to you.
All right.
If we conduct this conversation in whichever cabin we're currently sitting in.
All right. So you find out from one of the stewards where Dr. Yordanov's room is, and you go there and knock on the door. And he immediately comes to the door. He says, "Yes." He says, "Oh, Dr. Keith, please, come inside. I am just packing my stuff up. What was all that about? I can't believe it. The anarchists in this country, it's getting completely out of control. I'm so sorry that they had interrupted us."
It was most unpleasant.
Very upsetting, yes.
Doctor, I'm not sure how to broach this subject with you, but
please.
We have information which I think may be of critical importance to the matter you discussed with us.
I see.
In the restaurant car. But my companions and I would prefer to discuss this in private in one of our cabins.
We can do that. I'm not sure how much time you have before we arrive at the
Well, Sophia. Let us just say that this might be an overture to a more in-depth conversation once we reach Sophia.
Well, I was going to make the suggestion to you even then that once we arrive in Sophia, after you've settled yourselves in your hotel, that you come to see me at my home. And in the meantime, I will go through the papers and see what I can find. See if I can find that paper that I was referring to by the student. That will give you a chance to rest, and it will give me a chance to rest. I am afraid my nerves are shot with all this this craziness. Did you see the way they stabbed? He stabbed that man. It was horrible.
It was horrifying. I can't. I can barely bring myself to think
but,
about
yes, of course. I think that we are going to be pulling into Sophia within the hour. I am just packing up my stuff. Which room are you in? I will join you in about five minutes.
I will give him my the room number.
Okay. Just allow me to finish packing up my stuff, and then I will meet you there.
Yes, of course.
Okay, and you can see that he's visibly. It's an odd mixture. It's definitely he's upset that something so horrible happened right in front of him, but he's also disgusted in the things that are going on in his government. So, roughly 5 minutes go by, and he knocks on your door.
Wait, before he comes in, I had a thought. What if we told him that we have the book, the Diablo, can't say it, imagining the Diablo book, and then we could judge his reaction based on that as to whether or not we share if we have the statue pieces?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It's a good idea.
And
I mean, he know if he's spoken to Yasmina, he knows that we have the Talius Corvus. That he knows, because she gave it to us to give to him, so he knows. Right? He may be too polite to mention it to us, but he certainly knows we have it.
Okay. And before we, I keep meaning to bring this up, Tom, before more action happens, but I lost some health back in Baba Yaga's hut, as well as quite a bit of sanity.
Okay.
I'm wondering if before the next... because I know we had like 4 or 5 days between woods and stuff. If there's a chance we can maybe regain some.
Between Belgrade and Sophia, you've had enough time to sleep. That's already happened. So go ahead and give yourself some sanity back and hit points back.
Okay.
And you guys just sort of had a triumph here. You beat up a bad guy and stopped him from escaping. So give yourself an extra, 1d4 sanity points back.
Right. You should get that.
But then you've realized that the Brotherhood of the Skin is a lot closer than you thought, so take away.
And we've just seen a man stabbed violently.
That's true.
In the restaurant car.
Hardly anything at this point.
Of all places, in the restaurant car. Egon Roney would knock off a star for that,
What really has gotten to Rupert is he says, just because there was a Brotherhood of the Skin spy in that cart doesn't mean that their service should have been any less than what it was.
Yes. It can't
disastrous.
I mean, he's not much of a spy, is he?
They're all slumpy.
Spies are meant to blend in.
Hmm. That may be an important point.
Ah. Might have been a last minute thing.
Might just be a flunky.
Okay. So sorry, I didn't mean to derail. So the
No. I think that's a very good idea.
All right, so Dr. Jordanov has joined you. Yes, my friends. He says, now I was telling Dr. Keith that you should join me. You know, I make sure you have my address. I'm not far actually from the station. You just go down this road and you'll find it there. It's a nice big house. I will, while you are at the hotel, I will then see what I can do to find the paper. Now, I can't guarantee that I will find it that quick because, as I say, I have research papers stacked up to the ceiling. But I think I have an idea where it might be.
Well, as I mentioned in passing just now, Doctor, we are also very much interested in this object of which you speak. And as we mentioned in the restaurant car, we have a familiarity with the book, La Imagine de Diablo.
Yes, you said you'd seen it there, you read it.
We've done more than seen it, Doctor. And I'll turn and open my trunk and remove from my trunk a small object wrapped in a piece of cloth and proffer it to the doctor.
And he takes it from me and he says, "You stole this from the library?"
No.
How marvelous.
No. We came upon it.
And he opens it up and he says, "It's illuminated. It's beautiful." It's like, oh my God. And he begins immediately to translate. And he says, "But we don't have time to read this here." He says, "But this is marvelous. You know how difficult it is to get somebody to lend a book like this from the library? I'm sure we'll take care of it. But I will take great, great joy, as you say, in reading from this."
I would be very interested to hear your observations about it once you've read it.
He's like, I believe Yasmin also said there were three other books that you had in your possession that were part of the collection.
Yes, that's right. We have the Notario de Tullius Corvus.
Yes. And how was that? Did you read it?
Yes, it was very interesting. I look forward to discussing it at greater length with you at your home. Yes, it was a very odd book.
And the other two, I didn't know either any of you speak the Arabic language.
We have a copy of the Sapientia Melgorum.
Ah, yes.
And the Rasal al-Albarin.
That is the one, yes. That would be quite difficult to translate.
Yes, I would imagine.
The Arab language has gone through many different dialects, so we'll have to find ancient Sumerian and so forth to try and translate that one. It probably will take us a couple of years to do that one.
Mm.
But we have a staff. We have a rather extensive staff.
I think you'll find the this copy of La Imagine de Diablo very interesting.
It's interesting. This is completely unexpected. What other unexpected things are you going to throw at me next?
I think you may be pleasantly surprised.
Or unpleasantly surprised.
Well, I need to go finish. But when you come to my house, we will go through the paper and we will see if we can find out the location of this this piece. And that would be marvelous if we could find it. As I recall, he described it as quite strange. But And there was some controversy over what it was actually composed out of. It wasn't marble and it wasn't porcelain, but he said it had unusual refractive properties. So if we find it and we find, as I say, it was the same description that is given in some of these pieces of parchment from the dig. As you recall, there was a lot more than just three books. There were scrolls and all sorts of things. They seem to attribute a great deal of significance to the object. I just can attribute a great deal of history to the object, and that is why it's very interesting. So, if you will, if I may bid you adieu, as you say, I will go back to my car and finish packing.
I'll make a point of taking his card so we know where
yes
to call upon him.
And I would suggest, you know, we're going to arrive at 7 o'clock. Let us, why don't you come for breakfast? Let us say 8:30 in the morning at my home.
Yes.
And I will see what I can do. Don't know how much time I'm going to have to look for this. I will find it. We'll find it, whatever. So he says, good night.
Before he leaves,
sure.
I was trying to get either Eldridge's or Dr. Dawkins' attention, like as Dr. Keith was talking.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I wanted to know, did Dr. Keith just give him the books to take?
It appears as if she has.
Well, she gave him L'Imagine del Diavolo.
Yeah, we still have the other books. I admitted to him that we have them, but then he knew that we had them anyway.
Right.
Okay.
And we were supposed to be delivering them to him in Sofia. So it would be very suspicious if I tried to deny that we had the books that he knew we had.
And then my next question to that would be, are we under any obligation to warn him of the dangers?
Well, I think that would be something we would be we could do that. We could point out to him that we suspect that they, mind you, that might put the wind up in too much. I think we should let him read. I think he's probably going to go straight back and read the L'Imagine del Diavolo. I would think that when we call upon him tomorrow morning, he's going to be considerably more receptive to our tale after we allow him to read that book.
Okay.
Because I seem to recall, just out of game for a moment, we did suffer sanity loss from reading that, didn't we?
I don't remember, but probably.
Okay.
It's quite lurid in its description of, you know, the particularly in the red tower at the end. It's
now about this time. There's a knock on your cabin door, and because you could hear numerous steps, almost regimented coming up outside, you suspect that it's the police wanting to question you. Okay. The lead person introduces himself. I am a Major Vasil Kristova, and I would like to question you about the events that took place on the train a few hours ago. So could you explain to me exactly what you witnessed?
Well, there was we were in conversation, and we overheard a dispute arising between the maitre d' and the steward. It got very heated, and out of nowhere, the steward produced a knife and repeatedly stabbed. I'll dab my head, dab my forehead as I'm saying, repeatedly stabbed.
Go ahead and do a psychology roll.
Oh God! Just very nearly throttled myself at that. Okay, oh, 40 out of 40.
Okay. You can see as you're explaining this to him, he doesn't seem surprised at all. He's, in fact, he seems rather. Yeah. Okay. We're used to this around here. He doesn't reply like that, but that's sort of the look that he's got on his face.
The man then took off towards the front of the train, and several of my associates took off after him.
Now, did you notice he was carrying anything with him, like a bag, a backpack, something slung around his waist?
No, nothing that I noticed. He had, all I can recall is that he had a terribly large knife. I was rather fixated on that, you understand? Yes.
Well, I'm afraid, you know, when you get to Sofia, be careful. There have been a number of rather strange... I'm not so sure that I should say this around a woman because of your sensibility. You are aware that he murdered one of the stewards.
Yes.
Took his place on the train. We are trying to locate something that was missing from the steward. Namely his hands. Apparently this filthy butcher cut off the man's hands, and we don't know why. But I thank you very much for your bravery in chasing him down and stopping him. It's too bad we didn't get a chance to interrogate him. But I think if you know any more information, please, you can come and see me at the police station in Sofia. I am Major Cristovo, and thank you very much. Be careful out there.
Thank you very much, Major.
Do you have any questions before he leaves?
Oh man, I do, but I don't want to ask it.
Do it.
All right, officer. I don't know what the protocol is in your city, but I'm curious. What happens to the body? Are you taking that off the train, or is the body continuing on to Sofia?
Oh, yes, the body will be taken to Sofia to go into the county morgue and divide them among all of my friends for their entertainment. No, I don't know what to help. put it in the county.
We'd like to take the head and put little feet underneath.
We make it bent like this.
It will be raffled for the police benevolent fund.
But I would like you to do, Frank, do a persuade roll.
Ooh, 07.
07?
Yeah.
Well, he likes your candor. He likes, he feels like since you guys were kind of the heroes, you stopped this guy before he could get away, and you helped the Mater D'. He lets slip, you know, he tells you that the Bulgaria, especially the city of Sofia, has become an especially dangerous place in the last 10 or 12 years. There's been an upswing in violent crime. I've seen similar crimes before. Murders combined with mutilation and body parts taken as trophies. And these crimes are usually in connected with disappearances and kidnappings. We suspect this to be the work of a group of particularly brutal white slavers, and we've nicknamed them the Butchers. I'm actually in command of the team who's investigating them. And you get that little bit of information out of him before he has to move on. So you've arrived in Sophia at 7, but the police won't let anybody off the train until they're finished questioning everybody. So it's nearly 9 p.m. when you get off the train. At 9 p.m. in winter, in times of trouble, which is what this really is in Sofia, the restaurants are all closed. The streets are barren of people, and most of the doors and windows have been shuttered up. And Dr. Yordanov is completely exhausted, but he is going to take a cab to his home. He suggests you stay at any one of the hotels. They are all excellent here in Sofia. He says, you know what? I have an idea. He doesn't take a cab, sorry. He has a car here parked. He says, I have an idea. Let's do this. Let's get in my car. One of you can drive, whoever has a high enough drive rating. You can drive me to my home and let me out. And then you can drive yourselves to the hotel. And that way, in the morning, you won't have to wait for anything. You will have my car. You can then drive my car back to my home. And that way you have a transportation.
That's very
good idea.
It's very kind of you.
So, and you will also know right where I live.
Mm-hmm.
So... The only question at this point for you that I have is, which hotel would you like to stay in?
Well, according to the guidebook, I think we'll be staying in the Hotel de la Bulgarie.
Okay.
Which is probably the only decent hotel in Sofia.
Now, it's nighttime, and it's cold, and it's snowy. But Sofia is actually a very pretty city. Let me show you. Some beautiful architecture. Lots of snowy mountains around you. Let's see. There is also, I believe I have a map. Yeah, there's the map. So the train station is up at the top. The hospital is there. The cemetery. And you said you wanted to stay at the Hotel de la Bulgarie, which is number 1 on the map, which is right downtown.
Where in relation to that, where is the doctor's house?
The doctor lives... We'll say over near the green rectangle on the left-hand side, a quarter of the Spanish Jews.
Okey-dokey. Well, we have his motor car, so we can easily get ourselves over there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, I never hit present to everyone, sorry. Did you all get that, though?
Again,
yes.
All right. So you drop him off. He has a nice house. it's not huge, but it's modest. He's only a professor at a university. He doesn't make that much money. But you then drive to the Hotel de la Bulgarie, a beautiful hotel, lots of bric-a-brac and pretty ornateness to the outside. It's painted a lovely shade of yellow with white trim. And the rooms are palatial. They're very nice. And you guys settle in for the evening. Is there anything that you want to do this evening? It's after 10 o'clock, by the way, by the time you're here.
I'm just going to get some rest.
I think, yes, a nice bath. And then time for bed, I think.
Okay. So, shall we say that by 11:30, you guys are all in bed asleep?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. I would like you all to do listen rolls and tell me not the number, but the level of success that you're at.
I pass with a regular.
I don't pass.
I passed with a hard, and Rupert made a regular pass.
Okay.
Regular.
All right. So Dr. Dawkins is the only one who didn't pass. And Dr. Elizabeth is the only one who made a hard.
Yes.
Right. Dr. Keith, you're lying in bed. You're having a little bit of trouble falling asleep. And you hear all of a sudden a kind of skittering noise, and you're wondering, oh shit, are there rats in this hotel? There shouldn't be rats in this nice hotel. And you hear more of it, and you get the distinct impression that something is climbing up the bedspread down near your feet, because there's kind of that snaggy sound of cloth, and you can feel just the slightest tugs of on the bedcloth. Now, the other ones who passed, you're also having a little bit of difficulty sleeping, and you also hear some noise that you think might be rats, which in this day and age, in this part of the country, well, maybe it's not that unusual, but you sure wish there weren't rats. Do any of you want to do anything?
I think, yes. I mean, given that I haven't, I'm like, trying to fall asleep when this has happened, I think my immediate instinct, I mean, out of game, this is what I would do myself if this happened. So my immediate instinct as a human being would be to immediately draw my feet back up to myself and look down and see what's at the end of my bed.
Okay. I need you all, including Rupert, to do luck rolls. And give me the number.
I passed with a 27.
I passed with a 35.
Rupert has failed with a 92.
Ooh.
And Elizabeth has passed with a 56 out of 57.
Frank?
Fail with a 78.
Okay. All right. Dr. Elizabeth, you're laying there in bed. You've pulled your feet up. You're looking down at the bottom of the bed. And it's kind of dark. It's dark in your room. But the light switch is within reach of your hand. It's next to the bed. I'm just going to say that you're going to probably turn it on.
Oh, yes.
You flip it on, and you're going to need sanity roll for this, but on climbing up onto the end of your bed is a severed human hand.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Gentlemen, you are all now seeing or hearing these things climbing up your bed. And Dr. Dawkins, you're still asleep.
Oh, no. Okay.
There's also more than one of them in your rooms.
What? Oh, well, they do come in pairs, don't they? Traditionally.
When they're not severed.
I'd like you all to do sanity rolls, and then tell me what you're going to do. Now, probably it's what I would do, which is jump up onto my bed and do this with my feet and scream like a girl.
But I'm still asleep.
I'm going to jump up on my bed, holding my petticoats above my knees, and for reasons I don't entirely understand, I will start shouting out the word Thomas. Yeah. In a southern accent.
It was me.
All right.
So Rupert has passed.
All right. I need you to do, if you pass, one point of damage. If you fail, D4.
We have both passed.
Of sanity.
Lost 4 points of sanity.
So that's that point of
sanity. Well, actually, you, back. Dr. Dawkins, you haven't woken up yet, so.
No, so I didn't have to.
You don't have to do it.
That's okay. I took your 4 points there, Dr.
Dawkins. Well, I've just lost the 1 point of sanity I got back earlier on. So it was fun having that sanity for a moment.
I just want a good night's sleep. Is that too much to ask?
Yeah, we're like sleep deprived, aren't we, Tom? Because it's just like everything happens at night.
You slept on the train last night.
Thank God.
All right. An attack begins. Since it jumped to Dr. Dawkins, you're asleep. You're having a wonderful dream about sandy beaches and lovely half-nude women when all of a sudden something clamps down over your face. And you wake up and find that there is a severed human hand attached to your face, clawing at your face. Okay. Gentlemen.
Now I'll take my sanity roll.
Right.
I'm going to try to bite it.
All right. You're going to bite it?
Let's see. I got a 21. So I pass. You say you pass for me, which just one. All right. Yeah. So I don't. You know, it's dark. Something clamps over my hand.
Right. You probably fling it off, whatever it is.
Or trying to fling it off.
Yeah. All right. The attack ensues. There are multiple, you're not even sure how many, severed human hands crawling around in your rooms, and they are flinging themselves at you and attempting for some reason to get to your face. Okay, so I'm going to give them the initiative first. We'll just do one at a time. So we'll start with Dr. Dawkins. So this one's going to attempt to do something to you, and he manages to scratch your face before you can fling it off.
Okay.
Well, I gave him the initiative. So the next one is going to leap at Dr. Keith. And it hits you, but it doesn't get a hold. It actually starts climbing up your petticoats or whatever they're called. Rupert.
A pervert hand.
Rupert, one of them flies through the air and tries to strangle him. He grabs a hold. Frank. Ooh. One of them... do you have a beard? You have a beard.
I think I do.
Okay. Yours, the thing sort of grabs a hold of your beard and starts to, you know, swing from your beard as it's going. And Eldridge. Eldridge, one of them jumps at you, but it misses.
Don't touch the glasses.
So now you guys can react. You guys can do something.
Are we going by dexterity first?
So if we can just go down the line. I don't care. So, Dr. Dawkins can go first.
I'll try to flick it off me. What do I need to roll for that?
Okay.
Is that a roll, or is that, would that be like a dex roll?
Grapple. All
right. And no.
Okay. It's preternaturally strong. You're really surprised at how strong the damn thing is. And it manages to get a finger in your mouth. Rupert. Rupert is struggling with it, and he does not manage to get it loose just yet.
With Rupert, I was going to say, he's a chap with a limp. I'm assuming that he's going to sleep with his cane next to the bed.
Sure.
So I think he's going to be reaching for his cane instinctively.
Okay. He's going to try to
whether to whack it or to flee, he would instinctively reach for his cane, I think.
Okay.
I think he's certainly going to be grabbing his cane.
Okay, so he's managed to get a hold of his cane.
Yes.
Dr. Elizabeth, go ahead.
I'm going to try and chew this thing off of me.
Okay.
Beastly thing.
And as you do that, you realize there's at least three or four more of them coming at you.
Oh, my God. In which case, I'm going to make a beeline for my coat.
Okay.
Wherever that's hanging up, which is probably hanging on the back of the door.
All right. Frank.
I have no idea, except I'm just trying to get this thing off of my beard.
Okay.
So grabbing it.
Grapple.
Oh, 96.
Okay. So as you're trying to do that, it's literally climbing up your beard, up your face. And a couple of the other ones have started jumping up onto you. So now you've got like three of them. Eldridge.
So what I'd like to do is is there like a fireplace? I assume there is.
Yes. In fact, now that you think of it, they might have come in the fireplace, or at least something. So there had to be some way into your room. The embers are low.
I'm going to rush towards the fire poker. I'm going to guess it's like a cast iron fire poker, something like that.
Sure. Yes.
And I'm going to brandish it and just wait until it comes close so I can just stab it.
Okay. Once you've left the bed, you realize there are at least five of these things in your room.
Well, I'm going to book it over to the thing
right.
then.
All right. So you've got the... The one that's attacking Dr. Dawkins, it actually breaks loose and you fling it. Okay? But you also notice that there's four or five of these things in your room now, and they're all coming at you. Dr. Keith, what are you going to do?
As soon as I reach my coat, I'm going to take out my my life preserver, my kosh.
Okay.
And I'm going to start swatting at this thing that's on me.
Okay, go ahead and do a grapple.
15 out of 25.
Okay, you managed to knock it off. Frank.
In my panic, I had a moment of clarity. At least I think I do. Where I'm going to try and reach up and try and grab its finger and start trying to bend it backwards, trying to break a finger.
Okay. That sounds reasonable. You go ahead and roll a grapple, but with a bonus dice.
7 on that one. 66. Nope.
All right. It's just amazingly strong. And it's trying to stick its fingers up your nose. Eldridge.
I am going to, I guess, stay in my position where the fireplace is, but kind of jab at one of the hands, try and get a hand shish kebab.
Okay. Go ahead and
give you a roll.
Call it grapple.
Okay. I got a 48. It's not a hard.
Okay. But you managed to pin one to the ground. Okay. Okay. You also notice at this moment that they're all different hands. They're obviously different people, different nationalities. Some of them are bigger, some of them are littler. Some look female, some look male. Most of them have scraggly looking fingernails.
Let's go for the kids' hands first.
Okay.
You had to say, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it. Don't say kids' hands. It's not doing it.
Now,
kill the kids first.
Wherever you guys are at that moment, you start hearing screaming, a man screaming. Dr. Dawkins, they're going to attack you. Are you going to try to dodge?
Well, yeah, I was going to, when I flung the one hand off, I was going to run for my cane.
Okay.
So they're, I guess, launching themselves at me.
There's like three of them between you and where your cane is.
Okay. Well, then I'll look for one that's like currently on the floor, and I will do sort of a running jump on it, if that's possible.
Okay. Sure. Just go ahead and do a jump roll.
Jump roll. Oh, I didn't even know there was a skill. Just missed it by 5.
Okay. So you land right next to the thing and it grabs a hold of your pants leg. Dr. Elizabeth.
Nobody puts points in jump.
It one of them launches itself at you, but you dodge out of the way.
Can I attempt to swat it?
Sure.
As it's coming at me. With, obviously, like when I say swat it, I mean with the, that's a 10.
Okay. Oh. You knock it. You throw it, send it flinging across the room. Frank. One of them skitters at you and you kick it out of the way. And Eldridge. Similarly, one of them makes starts coming at you, and you give it a good kick, and it flings across the room. You once again hear somebody screaming, and all of a sudden, the hands stop whatever they're doing, and they run away. And you can see that some of them are running towards the vent, which got knocked off the wall. You can see some of them are running towards the fireplace and up the fireplace. And they all seem to be making a beeline for getting the hell out.
Can I try and give one of them an almighty whack?
Sure.
As they're running off. 65. No, that's a fail.
Is the one I skewered still skewered into the floor?
That's yes.
Roof.
Yes.
Excellent.
The others are all running away.
I have proof of something that has occurred.
Okay. Frank, anything? Dr. Dawkins?
No, just get him off him.
All right. It's at that moment that you realize that the screaming is coming from Rupert. And Rupert is screaming, "My eye! My eye!"
Oh my God.
And there's blood running down his face. And that's where we're going to end it.
Oh no.
God damn it.
Sorry, Simon. Tried something like this.
That was the luck roll, by the way.
Oh no.
Oh. You guys are way luckier than you think. All right. So our players included Thomas McKeon, Mick Swan, Jeff Wilkins, and Wayne Worthy, with myself as the Keeper of the Secrets. We're currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We provide audio-only versions of our shows free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Patrons of our show can now enjoy recordings of our pre- and post-game conversations. If you'd like to become a patron, visit our Patreon account. Just $1 or $2 a month will help a lot. Like, share, and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows, and leave us some comments. We'd love hearing from you. This is Tom Rayleigh, together with all the members of our gaming club, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.